let's see here. I'm excited to be here today. It is a great honor for me to be here. Anytime that pastor gives me the mic to speak, I take it as a great honor. I don't take it lightly. Can we one time just show our appreciation, our gratitude, and give honor where honor is due to our pastors, Pastor Richie and Leanne. Their job is not light at all. I know they put up with a lot with me that over the years. I've known them for 8.5 years. And we've seen this church go through its ups and downs. I've known Eden since she was 9 months. I think that she was 9 months when I first met her. And for her to be this, you know, big girl and talkative and stuff, it's crazy to me. But yeah, I thank you, Pastor, so much for giving me this opportunity. When Pastor first told me about this a couple of months ago, he said, would you be interested in preaching in December? I said, yes, duh, of course. I was praying and planning. I was like, okay, God, what is it that you want me to speak about in December? It's the last week before the new year starts. And just this one thing kept resounding in my spirit and my prayer time: the best is yet to come. Turn to three people around you. Say, the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. Just turn around to three people. Say, the best is yet to come. If you turn in your word with me, let's open right up to Luke chapter 1. Did everybody have a great Christmas last week or this past week? Everybody got some good grub on? I went to Texas de Brazil yesterday for my future brother-in-law's engagement, and I ate so much and my diet went right down the drain. So I'm glad the fast is here. So I'm glad y'all enjoyed Christmas. And so because we participate in Christmas and we learn about Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus, I want to pick up in that story again. If you were here last week for our Christmas production, we read the story very quickly. But I want to highlight on one point about the Christmas story. Let's turn to Luke chapter 1, verse 28. And we're going to read verses 28 through 31. So we all know, just to give you the background real quick, the angel is now coming to visit Mary and give her the good news that she has been selected to become the mother of Jesus. Okay, so let's pick it up real quick. In verse 28, the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." I want to be known as a person that is highly favored. Verse 29, Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this must be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor." Here's the word favor again. "You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus." This is the craziest part of the story because it just hit me this morning while I was brushing my teeth. It's crazy. I love when God does that. Just unexpectedly, just boom, just hits you right where it hurts. I'm like, okay, God, I'm ready. I'm listening. And I was brushing my teeth, and I almost stopped. I was like, that's good, God. That's good. That's good. That's good. I'm going to speak it today. Watch this. The angel said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored," right? And the angel also reminds her in verse 30, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God." Like I said, I want to be known as a man that finds favor with God. But here's the thing. The angel said, "You found favor. Now you're going to give birth. Bye." Imagine this. This is Mary, and she is around 12 or 13 years old at this time, okay? So this is an unplanned pregnancy, truly. This was not in her schedule or her agenda. Oh, maybe on December 25th, let me get pregnant and give birth. No, this was unexpected. The angel said, "You are favored, now you're going to have a baby. Bye." So now Mary is stuck with this deliver. The angel angel said, you are favored, but now I'm going to have you work for just 9 months. You're going to grow this baby. You're going to gain some weight. You're going to feel the baby kick around and maybe not give you good night's sleep as you're used to. You're going to have swollen feet. You're going to crave ice cream and pickles in the middle of the night. Okay? Mary did not ask for this delivery. But because she was favored, God gave her something that she wasn't ready for. But here's the thing. When a mother is pregnant with a baby, it takes 9 months. And during the 9 months, like I mentioned earlier, you go through all these crazy cravings and you go through all this weight gain. And like the mother's body intrigues me because there's so much changes in the body biologically that happens, but the body's so used to it. I mean, you're giving birth to another human. There's another human being inside you. It's the weirdest thing to me, but it's crazy, but it's good, but I guess it's natural. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. The delivery process is the most painful process that I've heard. Yeah. I mean, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I just want to make sure that if it wasn't painful, that'd be pretty awkward for my message. But here's the thing. Once you're in pregnancy for 9 months, you're carrying this baby, but the delivery is the hardest part.
Right.
Some of us want all this favor,
but
don't want to go through the pain of delivering. I mentioned this to my dad because I got so excited. I was like, Dad, listen, God spoke to me while I was brushing my teeth. You got to hear this. And my dad was like, wow, I never thought like that. I said, I never did either. That's cool. Right? Is that cool? You're favored, but now let me let you go through some pain. We know it as labor pain, but let me change it as favor pain. Credits to my dad right there. Some of us want all this favor, but we never want to go through the pain. She was interrupted in her own schedule by a divine appointment. You can receive God's word as an interruption or as an encounter. But it's depending on how you're going to receive this word is how you're going to deliver the word. Mary was considered favored, but yet God chose her to go through this pain and labor. In 5 months and a couple of days, I am getting married to the most beautiful girl in the entire world. She is fine and she's all mine. This is Miss Blessy Abraham, soon to be Blessy John. In 5 months, on May 24th, I am about to put a ring on that finger because I liked it that much. You know, if you like it, put a ring on it. So I'm putting a ring on it, okay? It's funny because as we got to know each other, she was actually born on Thanksgiving of 1988. And I was like, oh, you're a Thanksgiving baby. And she was like, yeah, I was close to 10 pounds. I was like, what? 10 pounds? I'm going to start calling you Butterball because that's like a turkey. So now I affectionately, lovingly call her Butterball, and she likes it. So anyways, you ask her. She likes it, okay? Isn't it great to have some fun in the house of God? God's good. But watch, I'm about to kick y'all in the face with this one. Pregnancy is 9 months, and the process will force the mother to go through a lot of uncomfortable changes. But when you're about to give birth, it's the most painful process. And I watch this on movies. The one thing that you hear the doctors say is just
push.
Say it again.
Push.
It's painful right now. But you got to keep pushing. I know it's uncomfortable right now, but you got to keep pushing. It may be 2 o'clock in the morning, but listen, you got to keep pushing. You may be going through delivery for a couple of the pain was worth it. But my question to you today is, on this last Sunday of 2013, are you willing to push your way through some pain for the delivery of 2014? Because here's the thing, I don't know what you've gone through 2013. It must have been a transitional year. It must have been a great year. But here's the thing, through the good times and through the bad times, you need to remind yourself to push. Pray until something happens. You gotta push your way. If it's in the good times, keep pushing. Keep pushing. If it's in the low times, keep pushing. Because you know why? God has birthed something inside of you right now, and you are about to give birth to something unprecedented in 2014. You may see some changes in your spiritual life. All of a sudden, you have this craving. All of a sudden, you want to read more chapters of the Bible. Those are favor cravings. All of a sudden, you have this tendency, and you're like, I'm going to just pray for somebody right now. Just be healed in Jesus. Those are some favor cravings. All of a sudden, what God is preparing you for is for this delivery. But here's the thing. You're going to have to endure some pain before the greatest joy comes. 9 months, man, 9 months. That's a long time. A long time. But during that 9 months, the baby is growing. It's getting healthy. The mother's also being prepared during this time of 9 months, buying cribs, buying car seats, clothes. During this time of pregnancy, whatever God has birthed inside of you, what are you doing to prepare for? If you say, God, I'm ready. I'm ready for my baby. I'm ready for what you're about to do. God is saying, I'm giving you 9 months. I'm giving you 9 years. I'm giving you all this time. But you're not doing anything to prepare for what I'm about to do. All of us want to have favor, but never want to go through the pain. I was born on April 16, 1988. I know for Pastor Richie, he's like, I graduated in 1988 or something. but I was born on April 16, 1988. And I was the firstborn out of my family. And I died 3 times in my mother's womb. The umbilical cord was wrapped around my neck, and I flatlined 3 times. And they had to resuscitate me somehow and get me back to life. And they... The doctors came up to my dad and said, listen, I'm sorry, but it has to come between the life of your wife or the life of this unborn baby. You got to pick one or the other. We can't do both. My dad stood in the ER with my grandparents and said, God has promised me. But God has promised me. There's no choice in this one. What God has promised me, I'm going to continue pushing with my wife. Right. Yeah. He prayed until something happened. Yes. Right. While mom was pushing. Yes. Good. Oh, good. By the grace of God, I am here before you. Because my dad believed. Yes. My mom believed. Yes. What God has promised. Right. When the doctor comes up to you and gives you the report of man, whose report are you going to believe? We will believe the report of the Lord. Right. The fact may be, this baby may not make it. But the truth is, God has promised me. Right. You have to learn how to stand on the promises of God. What are you standing on? But Steve, you're 25. You're a young punk kid. You haven't even got married yet. You don't know. Just wait. Well, excuse me, sir or ma'am. I don't speak from experience, but I want to speak from biblical principles. Because when we continue reading in Luke chapter 1, let's read verse 36 through 37 real quick. Just put it up on the screen real quick, Tyler. Even Elizabeth, your relatives, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be barren, in her 6th month, she was said to be barren. She was said to be too old. Next verse. For nothing is impossible with God. Another version says like this. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail. Elizabeth was promised a son. She's standing on the promises of God. What are you standing on? I heard this analogy before, and I love this analogy. How many of y'all have played, especially as boys, we have this blow-up inflatable punching bag. We just push it, comes pop, try back up. We punch it, pops it back up. If you look at what's inside there, it's one of two things. Either you can put sand to weight it down, or you can put water to weight it down. But because it's weighted on the bottom, doesn't matter how hard you hit it, it's going to pop back up. Let me ask you, what's weighing you down right now? Do you have the word of God to stand on when the enemy comes and knocks you out? You can pop back up. It's a pop back anointing here today. I'm ready for some men and women of God to say, hit me with your best shot, because I'm weighted on the bottom with the word of God. You can try to get me down, but my God is popping me back up. God is only having your setback to set you up for a miracle. Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6. Here we go. I talked about this last time I preached here about the walls. This is probably one of my favorite stories. Yeah. One of my favorite stories. Yeah. It's talking about Joshua and his army. And there was a city called Jericho. And Jericho had this large wall around it. And it's legit story because they found the wall of Jericho. It still stands today, actually. And I learned that in my art history class. So if you say I'm wrong, talk to my professors. So in Joshua chapter 6, we pick up the story of how God is giving instructions to Joshua how to take what he had promised Joshua. So let's read this. Now Jericho was tightly shut up because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its kings and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men and do this for 6 days. Have seven priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in the front of the ark, and on the seventh day march around the city seven times with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have all the people give a loud shout. Did y'all hear how pathetic y'all sounded when y'all said shout? Shout. Let's do it again. Let's really like read it like the way it says, okay? When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have all the people give a loud
shout.
Woo! You heard that? There's some power in shout. Then the walls of the city will collapse and the people will go up. Every man straight in. So let's dissect this passage here. God has promised Jericho and it said, I have delivered this into your hands. But before I can deliver this, you got to follow a few instructions.
Right.
So God gives you promises, but maybe there's some terms and conditions you got to read, you know, the small print that I always click, I agree to. I never have the chance to read it. Who has time for that anyways? So anyways, God is saying, you're being delivered Jericho into your hands. Terms and conditions apply. So watch this. Terms and conditions apply. Walk around the wall of Jericho for 6 days, right? So he's walking. And the Israelites are looking at him. What is this kid doing? He's walking. Imagine if you were Joshua and you had to convince your army to follow you. It's like the battle of, how many seen the movie like Gladiator or 300 or The Patriot? Like, right? Like, it's like the big warrior leaders. Tonight is a night we're going to take over the city. Freedom, right? It's like this. But Joshua's like, we're going to take the city, but we got to walk. Wait, we're not going to fight anybody? No, we're just going to walk. We're just going to walk around the city for 7 days. Like convincing your army, I don't think the Bible, you know, really illustrated that point very well. But I just wanted to be a fly on the wall or in the field because they didn't have walls back then. But anyways, just a fly around there, you right? And Joshua is walking around for 6 days one time, right? So first day, one time. Nothing happened. Went back home. Honey, how was the battle? Oh, we just walked. We just walked. So did you get what you were promised? No. Okay. Well, tomorrow I'm going to go again and walk. Okay. Second day. It's a mundane thing to walk around, right? Y'all are getting bored by me prolonging, but I want to illustrate something. Watch this. So this is the second day. Okay. Third day, same thing. Honey, did you get it? Nope. We just walked. Fourth day, walked around. Fifth day. I'm going to do it all seven times. Watch. Sixth day. I'm getting dizzy now. Sixth day. So now the seventh day, he has to walk around it seven times. God, at least give me a crumbling block or a brick or something to know that I'm doing something right. Right? Think about it. The wall's not moving for 6 days. I would be annoyed. I'm like, I'm just walking, and I see my miracle in front of me, but there's something between me and my miracle, me and my promise. God, I'm walking around. I memorized all the lines in the walls because I've walked around this so many times. I know what's going on. I know this brick is missing something. I can see everything around it. I've analyzed it from every position. But God, I know you promised me on the seventh day to walk around it seven times. So you know what, God? I'm just going to follow you. I'm going to trust you. And he walked around it one time, two times, three times, four times, five times, six times. Imagine if he stopped at six. God, I'm getting bored right now. Nothing's happening. You promised me something, and I'm bored. How many times have we given up right before God gives us our miracle? Because we're bored. God, I've done this so many times, but yet you haven't promised me this. I haven't seen it yet. I'm just going to give up. But my encouragement to you today is do not stop at six. But you got to continue walking around for that one final time. You may have been walking around it 7 years, but don't stop at six. Because when you continue walking, you may see your miracle. You're one prayer away from your miracle. You're one fast away from your miracle. You never know what's going to happen on the other side. But here's the thing. Keep pushing, keep walking, keep going, and keep enduring. Because God's promise never fails. And so God told him to walk around seven times. He's walking. But here's the thing. Walking around seven times didn't do anything. There was one more condition. After the seventh time that you walk, have the trumpets blow a loud blast. And at the loud blast, have the people give a loud. Here's the thing. Your praise is the key to your blessing. But here's the thing. Don't you know Joshua has been made fun of so many times walking around? He must have been ridiculed. He must have been mocked. He must have probably thrown stones and bricks at him. You're a dumb idiot trying to walk around this place seven times, whatever. But listen, his pain produced a praise. I don't know what kind of pain you went through in 2013, but that's going to be your praise in 2014. You have gone through a different situation that I have may never ever go through. But here's the thing. Your God has delivered you in a way that he hasn't delivered me in. He's your personal God in one way, and he's my personal God in another way. Someone say, don't stop at six. Woo! Y'all ready? Y'all ready? I'm telling you, I feel something in my spirit. It's not just hype. It is not just emotionalism. God is stirring up. God is preparing us. It may be a mundane season right now. You may feel like you've been doing the same things over and over and over again. But I want to encourage somebody today. Say, keep pushing. Keep walking. Keep praying. Keep believing. Keep having faith. Because God's promises never fail. I love being a youth director here because I can personally pour into the lives of these young people. But at the same time, the flip token of this is I also counsel and talk to a lot of parents and families that are struggling with their children. It's hard to believe it, but I don't have a halo around my head, okay? I've given my parents some grief a couple of times. Once or twice, maybe. Right? But here's the thing. I remember going through the darkest season of my life. I was the most rebellious kid that you could ever meet. Didn't care for spiritual authority. Didn't care for parents' authority. Did my own thing. But even through all that, my parents never stopped praying for me. Even through all my junk and all my mess, my dad went back to God's promise on April 16, 1988. God has promised me,
right,
and I'm going to believe it.
Right.
Even if he acts like a devil child right now, I'm going to believe it. Right. Don't give up on your kids.
Right.
Don't give up on your marriage.
Right.
Don't give up on your finances. Keep pushing.
Yes.
Keep praying.
Yes.
Keep believing. I know you're at a brink of hopelessness right now for your relationships and for your family, and you feel like all hope is given up. But that's the exact place where God wants you to be.
Right.
Because then
right.
you have no excuse saying it's by your own will,
right.
but it's by God's. Yeah. Not by my might,
yeah.
but by the power of the Spirit of the Lord.
Yeah.
Don't give up. Don't stop at six.
Yes.
Be ready for some favor pains.
Yes.
Ooh,
yes.
2014 is going to be your year. And I'm tired of, see, here's the thing. I've grown up in the church for the past 25. I was like born in the church, basically. I was a PK. And every single year, I always hear this end of the year message, right? You know, 1997 is going to be the year of heaven and all these things. And like, okay, listen, you've promised this last year, 96, right? And this is nothing's happening. But here's the thing. I can say something and it can be something in my life, but here's the thing. If you don't grab a hold of this word and apply it to you, it doesn't mean anything. So you can choose what 2014 is to you depending on how you're going to end off this year for the next 3 days. Say what? Oh, say it and obey it. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Someone said the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. You may be in your lowest season right now, but keep up the faith. The best is yet to come. You may be in the highest peak of your mountains, but wait, the best is yet to come.
Yes.
Either way you look at it, God has something better in store for you. Ephesians 3, verse 20 says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more," someone say more, "than all we could ask or imagine." So whatever you're asking, whatever you're believing for, God has something more than that. Whatever you can imagine, oh, God, wouldn't it be great if I... No, God has something more than that. "Now to him who's able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us." Here's the thing, the last part. His power has to work within you. Are you allowing him to work within you? I love the idea of being married, but I hate the work that I have to put into it to make me look the best on my wedding day. I picked up a membership to the gym 3 weeks ago. Yeah, it's painful. It's painful. Don't stop. I gotta push. But here's the thing. Over the 3 weeks, there's been mornings that I woke up and I'm like, God, do not feel like going to the gym today. But then it dawned on me, how am I supposed to expect me to be in my best condition by the time of my wedding if I'm not willing to put any work into it? Work is a four-letter word that us Christians don't like. Work. You mean to work for my blessing? What? Faith without works is dead. You can have faith all day and night. Right. But unless you're going to work, right, it's not going to do anything. So then I would go to the gym every day, and I started off. It was bad. I started off trying to run a mile. I'm like, I'm going to do it. Run 1 mile. Without stopping. 15 minutes later, I barely got 1 mile. It was horrible. It was bad. I was panting. I was like, I'm done. Bye. And then I kept reading on, you know, on this different sites on the internet, how to get in your tip-top shape. They said you can do, to burn 1 pound of fat, you will have to do 20,000 crunches. I'm like, I'm not willing to work that hard. I'm sorry. Let me go back to Chick-fil-A. And even though I can work all this time, if my diet is not the same, then it's going to cancel out the work that I'm doing in the gym.
That's good. That's good.
It's a two-way thing.
That's good.
You can exercise all day and night,
right,
but if you're going to eat junk food and eat out like a pig all the time, it's not going to do anything. Or you can eat very healthy, but if you're not going to exercise, you're still going to be weak. You're not going to be the strongest you can be. So if we apply that to our spiritual lives, we can do all these great things to work towards what God has promised us. But if our diet, if we're not partaking of our daily bread, if we're not drinking of the living water every day, if we're not having it in balance, then how are we supposed to be in the best condition we could ever be in our spiritual life? We could read all day and night the Bible. We can memorize every single chapter of everything. But if we're not putting any work into volunteering at the church, whoa, volunteering with some youth, throwing it out there, right? If you don't want to volunteer, or if you don't want to put some work behind it, then it's useless. It's in vain. There has to be a balance. So I've learned that even though it's painful to work out the past 3 weeks, it's worth it. Because this morning, remember when I told you that God was speaking to me in the bathroom? I was brushing my teeth. And I was brushing my teeth, I was like, is that a muscle right there? I was brushing my teeth, and I was like, okay, God, this is another illustration. Okay. I noticed that the work that I've been doing is finally paying off. I mean, I ain't got no six-pack or anything yet, but it's getting there. Come on, because I'm not stopping at six. I'm not stopping. And I'm going to continue working at it. Y'all pray for me that I can have endurance through this fast, at least keep up working out and be in my tip-top shape for my bride. But let me ask you this today as I'm closing. What is it that God has promised you? What is it that you're believing for? You found favor with God, but are you willing to go through the pain? God has promised you something, but are you willing to do the mundane, ordinary things that you probably won't see overnight results? It's boring sometimes, believe me. It's boring sometimes to do the same things over and over and over and over again. But God said, at the very end of the seventh day, the seventh time that you walk, give a shout of praise like you've never done before. So maybe in this next few days of 2013, as we're about to wrap up, this year has flown by so quickly. Maybe this next three days or few days, you can praise like you never praised before. Maybe you could worship like you've never worshiped before. There's no downside or there's no bad effects to praising too much. God never said, okay, you can praise up until this amount. David got indignified before God. And we're here worried about what other people would think if we let our shout of praise. Right. I'm sorry, if God promised me Jericho, I'm going to shout as loud as I can for my blessing. You may not be believing for the same thing that I'll be believing for, but it depends on how bad you want it. I can pray all day and night for the perfect body. God, please let me have a six-pack by tomorrow. Lord, I want to have 22s on my biceps. God. Right? I can pray all day and night. But if I'm not going to do something that's never been done before, I'm going to always see what I always saw. So this year, do something different that you've never done before. Praise him like he's done something. He's given you breath in your body. That's one reason to praise him. He woke you up today when millions of others around the world didn't wake up today. That's one reason to praise him. You have clothes on your back. That's a reason to praise him. If you start listing out the reasons why you should praise him, you'll find that the list can go on and on and on and on and on. God, you're doing this much for me, but yet I've been giving you this much praise? Mm-mm. I got to step up my game to a whole another level. If you want to go to another level, your level of worship, level of giving, level of participating needs to go up. It all needs to be in balance. So who am I speaking to today? With every head bowed, every eye closed. Saying, Steve, 2013 was a year that was very tough for me. 2013 was probably one of my greatest years. But let me just encourage you with something. The best is yet to come. Steve, I know that I'm going through a hard time right now, and I feel like I've been doing the same things over and over again. I see my promise. I've memorized all these verses and chapters. But Steve, my praise life isn't what it should be. Can I just encourage you that today can be the start of the greatest chapter in your life. The best is yet to come. Don't get complacent. Don't get comfortable. Because where God is about to take you is going to be painful at times, but it's going to be rewarding at the very end. You got to continue pushing. Pray until something happens. Don't stop at 6. Don't stop at 5. Don't stop at 4. You got to continue walking and walking and walking and walking. God, I'm sorry for the many times that I've given up on you, but Lord, I thank you for never giving up on me. So Lord, I pray as we enter 2014, I pray that you would take our praise life to a whole nother level, God. You have given us promises, blessings, and everything that we could ever imagine for, more than we could ever ask or imagine for. God, you have it in store for us, Father. But Lord, we pray that you would work within us. You would allow us to go through some pain. You would allow us to be uncomfortable so that way we can do some uncomfortable things to glorify you, God. So today, if that's you and you're saying, Steve, I really need to take my praise to a whole nother level. With every head bowed and every eye closed, can you just raise your hand real quick? Just raise your hand. Praise God. Praise God. Wow. Yeah. You can put your hands down. Put your hands down. Or maybe you are someone here today that says, Steve, I don't even have a great relationship with Christ. I don't have a relationship with Christ. And what you're telling me is very inspiring, and I want to know about this Jesus. I want to know about God. Because here's the thing, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same God of Joshua and Jericho is the same God that I serve today. So if you want to start a new relationship with Christ, can I see a raising of hands if that is you? Anybody here today? Praise God, I see you. I see you. Yeah, there's a few others. Amen. Put your hands down. Put your hands down. All of us together, can we corporately just pray this prayer? Say, Heavenly Father, I come before you. And I admit that I can't do this on my own. But starting today, I surrender my life to you, and I give you complete control. Doesn't matter how hard or how painful, I will trust you and I will believe. Thank you so much for dying on the cross and raising again 3 days later. From this day forward, I will serve. In Jesus' name, amen. When I gave the invitation to take your praise to a whole nother level, there was hands all across. I couldn't count how many hands went up. But we're about to sing this one song talking about moving forward and how God is working all things for your good. He will make all things new. Doesn't matter what you've gone through, He's making everything new. So if that's you, I'm not going to push you. I'm not going to beg you. You heard. If you want to take your praise to the next level, for the last Sunday of 2013, just go out with a bang. Worship like you've never worshiped before. Praise Him like you never praised Him before. Do something outside of your comfort zone and start 2014 with a high level of praise. You make all things new, yeah. You make all things new, and I will follow you forward. Come on, if you believe that, let's sing it again. You make all things new.
This morning. I don't know about you, but Steve just totally preached me into 2014 at a whole nother place. I'm going there. I'm telling you, I didn't get with him on what to preach. I had no idea. I just trusted him. I knew the title. That was it. God is about to take you to another place if you will allow him. You got to say where you want to go, then you got to obey. You got to obey. I like what he said. I heard it all my life in the last service of every year. God's going to do this next year, that next year, and you're the same as, well, did you do anything different? If you want something you've never had, you got to do something you've never done. It's time to stretch a little bit. Come on. It's time to go there. Telling you what, man, we got to get that recorded. We got to get that on CD for everybody on the fast starting in next Sunday. You play it over and over in your car. Come on, we're going to grow this year. I am talking about numerically. I'm talking about you are going to grow in your walk with Jesus. Because that's the answer to everything else. When you get God, you get it all. When you get Jesus working and moving in your life, you get it all. Are you with me? I know you've already heard the sermon. Are you with me? Somebody say, well, I need this. I'm already okay spiritually. No. The more you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the other things that we worry about will be added unto us as well. That's the principle of the fast. That's the reason we fast and pray the first part of the year. It's not religious. It's not some, you know, thing that, it's just word. The word tells us to seek first the kingdom. Now, you can fast any other time of the year. No problem. But you know how you pray the first part of the day, and it sets the course of your day. You go to church the first day of the week, and it sets the course of your week. You fast the first part of the year. And I'm telling you, God, I had somewhat of a miserable year last year up until the last 2 months. And I told Gene Garrett the other day, I was like, I feel like, you know the word in Psalms, he daily loadeth me with benefits. It's like, in fact, Ashton told us the other day, she said, man, it's like it keeps coming and coming. Because every time I get blessed, I got to be able to bless my kid. Not just money. I'm talking about in every area. It's like the past 2 months, it's been a... I announced it in one of the Christmas Eve services. We had a $101,000 gift from one person last week. One person. Oh, come on, somebody. There's a reason why things happen for this church. There's a reason why things are happening for fasters It's not that he loves them anymore. If you want something you've never done, you got to do something you've never done. How many's ready to go there? So eat all you want to eat this week. Go to every buffet in town. Because starting next Sunday, you're going to fast with me. And we're going to go somewhere in Jesus that we've never been before. You're going to come to Growth Track next Sunday night because you want to grow more than you ever have before. We're going to expand our knowledge of the Word, our relationship with Jesus. And you're going to start inviting, come on, I'm speaking this prophetically. You're going to start inviting friends and family to this church on Sunday morning like you've never done before. And we're going to see God move. Amen. Talked to somebody a few weeks ago about, actually 2 weeks ago, about getting us some 15-passenger vans and allow us to rent them or lease purchase or him donate them or whatever so we can start going to the trailer parks, the apartment complex, all over town and fill them up, bus them in, fill them up, bus them in. We'll start a whole nother ministry. We talked to somebody last week. We had a meeting, a conference call with somebody in Spokane, Washington, about purchasing two brand new high def cameras that we'll be able to set up and be able to do live streaming and start reaching the world. I got tons of friends in India on Facebook. I mean, we got people all over the world we could reach right here from this. Oh, I'm gonna go ahead and say it so at least you can. I'm gonna give you one more thing and then I'm gonna pray over you. And ushers, I'm just gonna believe that people are gonna obey God. They're gonna put it in the offering mailbox on the way out because they're gonna be faithful. There's no way you can hear a word like this and not respond. Something's wrong with your responder if you can't. So I want you to pray for me and pray for the church that we make the right decisions. I had a call from a pastor. I've been meeting with a pastor. It may not happen this way, but I feel like now's the time of expectancy for you to know what to. Had a pastor that came to me and wants our church to cover them. They want to give us their church as a second church. And you won't guess where it is. It's in Roy City. Now, I've been talking about Roy City since January, since the fast of last year. It's amazing when God shows up on his timing. So you don't know what's going on behind the scenes all year. How many remember I said in Romans 8:28, all things are working. All things aren't, you're not seeing all things all times, but they're all working. That praying is working. That tithing is working. That worship is working. So I want you to pray about that. It may not even come to it. It may just be that God's reminding us that his word. And one day we'll have a free life in Roy City. One day we'll have a free life in Canton. One day we'll have, or maybe Mineola, way out there. We'll have a free life different places around. God's going to use us. Come on, I want my life to count for something. How about you? How many is ready to go somewhere in 2014 you've never been? Father, in Jesus' name, you see every hand lifted. I thank you for the anointing in the house of expectancy, of faith. God, I thank you that you're growing us. Lord, I pray that you would draw each and every person under the sound of my voice in to enter into this 21 days of prayer and fasting and to seek you like we've never sought you, to believe you for impossible things, to not stop at six, but to keep walking. And we may see them as labor pains, but we know they're favor pains. We know that you have favored us. You have targeted us for a blessing in 2014. And we love you and we praise you and we call those things that are not as though they were. And we're believing you for our best year ever. Grow us, Lord. And Father, bless every person in this room with their tithe, with their offerings. God, I pray that you would bless this offering. Multiply it to benefit your kingdom. It is all about you. It is all about you moving in lives, saving the lost. We declare restoration, healing, and hope to a whole nother place in 2014. Bless your people now in Jesus' name. And all God's people shouted. First time guest.